And if you would like to turn in your New Testaments to our gospel lesson for today, it is a very familiar story. I invite you to read along with me silently, or perhaps simply close your eyes and let it wash over you. The Gospel according to Luke. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. This is the opening lyric to a song that became popular when I was in my first parish, and I actually learned it in Scotland when I took a group of young people over on a mission trip. And they joined our host youth group to lead worship on a Sunday morning. And I will never forget how I felt as I heard those beautiful voices of young adults and youth blend together to offer this testimony. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Recently, I saw a marquee outside of a church that had this message on it. You've all seen the seasonal messages that are around. This one said, "Why do we only rest in peace? Why don't we live in peace?" Peace is something for which we pray. We pray for peace in our world. Some of you remember praying for peace to the end of World War II or the Korean War. I can remember in my young adulthood offering prayers for peace in Vietnam. Unfortunately, some of those prayers, I will say not mine, but some of those prayers became more like demands and often resulted in confrontation and violence and even sometimes death. Ironically, anything but peace. And since then, there have been many, many opportunities to lift a particular conflict to God, boldly praying for a peaceful end, and especially now in the Middle East. But we also pray for a peace that is not so much the end of warfare as it is the end of conflict within ourselves. We pray for resolution. We pray for reconciliation. We pray for reunion in our nation, among citizens and non-citizens, among our friends, and sometimes especially in our families. I believe that Most of our prayers for peace come from a place of fear. Fear and a desire, a hope, that the fear will be eradicated. Fear has been a part of the human existence since the fall of humankind. We read about that, we read about that in Genesis. And everyone, regardless of how brave we might seem, is probably afraid of something. It could be snakes. It could be spiders. It could be disease, or financial setbacks, or old age, or gray hair, rejection, or disappointment, exposure, being forgotten, death. The list is endless. And even in the Bible, we encounter folks stalked by their fears. Abraham lied about Sarah out of fear. Jacob displayed fear of his brother Esau. Moses feared Pharaoh, and the disciples feared that storm. And in truth, nothing has changed. People are still caught in the grip of their fears, and this may be especially true in the Christmas season. At a time that should be joy-filled and totally Christ-centered, it is far too often filled with worry, dread, or perhaps even depression. We fear not having enough money. We fear not being able to meet others' expectations. Some of us worry over meals. We worry about who's going to be here, who's not going to be here. It can be difficult to find peace of mind even as we prepare to herald the birth of the Prince of Peace. Scripture tells us three times that God sent angelic messengers to earth with messages connected to the birth of his son, the Lord Jesus. Each time, they brought big news, news that troubled the hearts of their hearers. But they also brought a message of peace. Three times, the angels appeared, and three times they spoke the words, "Fear not." In our text today, when Gabriel appears to Mary, she's probably about 13 or 14 years old, and she probably has grown up with the same expectation of all girls of her age and culture, marriage, home, family. She's already engaged to a man named Joseph, and she's about to be married. And according to our text, she's maintained her spiritual purity as well as her sexual purity. In other words, she's living a good life. She is close to the Lord. My guess would be that she experienced a certain kind of peace within herself about her future. But when Gabriel makes his announcement to Mary, her life is immediately turned upside down. She is called upon to bear shame, reproach, and humiliation. Hers is to be the greatest honor ever afforded a woman, but at the same time, it carried with it tremendous social stigma. Whatever peace she might have been experiencing about her future life had to have disappeared into the fear of the unknown. And I'll bet each one of us can identify with that fear. When our lives do not go the way that we have planned, it's very easy to fear the unknown ahead of us. We are certainly living in uncertain times. Over and over we hear from others and perhaps from our own lips, "I fear for our nation. I fear for our world. I fear for my son or my daughter or my grandchildren." I fear what tomorrow will bring. Yet however perplexed and conflicted she might have been, we know that Mary accepted God's call to her. She trusted God's word that her unusual circumstances were the result of God's favor upon her. Her fears relieved, a sense of peace may well have settled over her. So what's our takeaway from this story that heralds the beginning of our precious Christmas story? What is God's word to the church, proclaimed in this story of a young woman who was chosen to bear a gift for all of humankind? I want to suggest that it might be this: however difficult it may be to hear, things will happen in our lives that are hard to bear and hard to understand, yet the Lord sends them, or at least allows them, to come our way. Why? Toward what end? To challenge us? To see if we are made of the right stuff? To punish us for drifting away from our commitment to God? I believe God's word to us is that when we are called to face difficult situations, we are given the opportunity to grow in our faith, to know God in perhaps a different and certainly better way. It is easy when these times arise to step away from our faith and allow fear to consume us. It's easy to question God. And we come from a long list of biblical characters, biblical ancestors, who did just that, questioned God. But what they learned that becomes a lesson for us is that while it is easy to question God, it is far greater to trust our faith that God is with us, no matter what. No matter what mountain must be climbed, no matter what conflict must be resolved, no matter what fear must be relieved. What we fearful humans need is to listen for a word from God who is able to calm our troubled hearts and expel our fears. Oftentimes we hear that word from others committed to God, from our family, from our church family. And we have such a word before us this morning. May your word to me be fulfilled. In saying these words, Mary was forsaking whatever dreams and desires she had in her life. She was saying, God, you know best. I will act and trust in you. And we can only imagine how her family reacted, what Joseph felt deep in his heart and soul when they all became aware of Mary's mission. But regardless, we know that while Mary's divinely formed path was a difficult one, she, a young woman barely out of childhood, still affirmed that it was best. Mary's story ends in a challenging way, or this part of her story in a challenging way. The angel left her. She was alone. No one else had heard Gabriel's message. And she knew that she would face a betrothed who would not necessarily understand. She would face the scorn of society for bearing a child out of wedlock. She will essentially be unmarriable, and no doubt would bring dishonor to any house she might enter. So what would, what could she do with this message of peace that Gabriel brought to her? If required, could she face it completely alone? Well, we live on the other side of the story, so we know what happened. But the power of this very brief text this morning must not be overlooked. Mary knew that the message of peace that Gabriel brought to her was that, in fact, she would never be alone. Her family might reject her, Joseph might desert her, but regardless, she was at peace. She accepted that she had a purpose far greater than any that could be imagined, that she would never be alone in accomplishing it. I wonder how confident we are that we will never be alone in our struggles. Are we quick to seek only resolutions that we can accomplish for ourselves? Or are we willing to turn over our fears to God and wait to hear what path we should take? The truth is, we pray for peace in our world, and we expect others to make it happen. We argue with each other about who should lead the way toward peace, and we continue to experience anything but peace in our own hearts. So I wonder how different it would be if we took literally the lyric that began this sermon. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. What would that look like? Perhaps it would look like the man who was featured last week on CBS Sunday Morning. Some years ago, he was shot in the course of a robbery, shot in his face. He was the victim. The shooter was eventually arrested and tried for this and other heinous crimes. The victim in this story went through years of treatment, of surgeries to recover physically, but he also went through a spiritual crisis. How could he live out his faith and forgive his attacker? The shooter received his sentence, the death penalty, and it would have been very easy to sit back and welcome that verdict. But instead, the victim not only established a relationship with the man who had attacked him, he went to his sentencing pronouncement and spoke on his behalf. And from interviews they showed prior to the shooter's death, because he did in fact receive the death penalty, it was clear that both men found a certain peace in the relationship that was developed between them. All because one man lived out his faith. And he is, by the way, a Muslim living in Texas. Let it begin with me. Or perhaps it might be reflected in the experience of a colleague of mine in worship 2 weeks ago. You might remember it was Christ the King Sunday. And in our online clergy women's group, Pastor Sherry confessed to the rest of us that she simply had no inspiration for her time with the children that morning. She had no sense of how to bring God's word to them about Christ the King. She was exhausted. She was feeling physically ill and spiritually conflicted over a number of things. And so she finally said to herself, I've just got to give it up to God. And so she sat quietly with the children and then posed a question. If you could be the ruler of the world for a day, what would you do? And you have the freedom to do anything. Well, first, There was an awkward pause. We know what that's like, any of us that have sat with the children in this particular role. But then the answers began to flow. One child said, "I would make all of the water in the world clean so that the kids in Flint," they happen to live in Michigan, "so that the kids in Flint and other places could drink it." Another one said, "I would make everybody healed." A little girl said, "I'm going to make sure that Betsy has friends because she sits all alone all the time and she really is sort of mean." And another said, "I would erase the frowns in hearts and make them smiles." Well, after the children shared a few other ideas, Pastor Sherry said she stood up, she looked at the congregation, and simply said, "Amen." Scripture tells us that nothing will be impossible with God. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Having heard God's word read and proclaimed,